Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm very glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to say that there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. This particular episode is not exactly a rerun, but if you've listened to all of our podcasts, or at least all three that featured Michael Sinatra, you've heard this stuff before. So I just wanted to say that at the beginning, I didn't want you to think I was trying to sneak something in. Over the course of the last year, Michael Sinatra has appeared on the Sounds of Christmas podcast three times, giving us a play-by-play look at his process for making a new Christmas album. I thought it might be interesting to combine the three different episodes into one big deluxe episode for a behind-the-scenes look at the entire process from start to finish. So let's start last April, when Michael joined the podcast for the first time to talk about the beginning of his work on a new Christmas album. First thing I have to ask you, the question everybody probably asks you, and you're probably tired of it, but you have a very famous name. How are you connected to Frank, or are you?
Yeah, so I was grew up with a great, I hit the jackpot with a cool last name. Unfortunately, there's no close relation to the Sinatras, but my great grandfather might have been a distant cousin. I don't know. My great grandfather, he was he married a Coppola. So there's another famous last name.
Wow.
Yeah. And my grandfather and his brothers were musicians, as well as my parents. That's how they met. They were musicians as well. And then I got into the whole field. I kind of fell into it.
With the famous name, I would imagine it was kind of like a double-edged sword moving forward in the music business. On the one hand, it could kick a lot of doors open for you, but on the other hand, it would probably open you up to immediate comparisons. Has it been good or bad, or a mix?
It's been a struggle. It's interesting how you brought that up. Yeah, I've struggled with this for many years. Before, I always thought about changing my last name or just giving it a different name, but I just kept it because it was the family name and everybody was a musician, and I kept it. And then it's most time people think it's a stage name. They don't believe me when I tell them that's my last name anyway. I have to show my ID. Look, it's real. Oh, wow. Since I was a kid, are you related? You don't have blue eyes. I said, my kids do. My wife and kids have blue. I married a Dutch woman. So.
And Frank Jr. has a son named Michael.
That is correct. And I get confused with him for over the past decade. I've been confused with Junior's son for many times.
And you have an obvious love for music that a lot of people would connect to Frank and to Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr., the Rat Pack. Your latest album is called Standards, where you revisit a lot of songs that were made famous by Frank Sinatra, as well as the other Rat Pack members. What has it been like recording songs that you know people are going to compare?
I record the songs that I know people, I love to hear form. I love to sing, and I would love to eventually do some original music. But now I just love, there was so many great composers, songwriters, and I just love covering these great standards, and I just want to keep it going, for these up and coming generations to go.
There's so much great music, and I love what you do, especially because it's really, in a way, it's kind of saving that music, because a lot of it does sort of get forgotten. You certainly don't hear it on the radio anymore.
No, you don't, and it's hard unless you have and you listen to satellite radio, you can't really find a standard station.
Yeah. On the Standards album, I think you work with a trio or a quartet. And
yeah, so half of that album was... See, that album was actually many years in the making. I didn't complete it until during COVID, the second half of that album.
And on your YouTube channel, there's a performance that features you singing with 17-piece St. Louis Big Band. I'm sure that both a small, a trio or quartet and the big band both have their pluses and minuses. Do you have a preference?
I prefer a quartet, a jazz trio. It's more intimate, and there's more room for improvising with the musicians that can just take a long solo or solo throughout the combo. And then I'll just bring me back in and I'm ready to go.
That is really what you did on An Old Fashioned Christmas. It's a very intimate collection.
Yeah, that one's more like piano vocal based. And then I did some percussion, like it had some jingle bells and some other things I added to that. But yeah, that was more intimate with songs that I grew up listening to. I was really big into Bing Crosby and you know, my parents, my mom loved Christmas and would always have the Christmas tree up for the whole year long. So
yeah, my wife makes me take ours down before Groundhog Day. But you know, but she knew what she was getting before. So
yeah, but currently the current project I'm about halfway through. Right now I have enough songs to do an EP, but I'm hoping to get it completed and do the full album. But it's been difficult, been challenging here during COVID to not able to get live musicians into the studio. So we're having to hire musicians from all around the country and just getting them to play, they record their part and they bring it in and we just lay it down and layer it up.
It must be a real challenge to be able to work on a Christmas album when we're far away from Christmas and you're still performing, or at least as things open up, hoping to perform. And it's really two completely separate animals because you can't test out, you know, if you were doing, whether it was a new standards album or something original or whatever, you could test out some of the songs in front of an audience, but you can't really break into Sleigh Ride in the end of April.
No, but I use my kids. So I got four kids. So my kids love the Christmas music. I have a little, you know, 5-year-old and 9-year-old daughter, and they love putting daddy on and listening to his Christmas music and singing along the jingle bells and all that. So it's fun. And I live through my kids when it comes to Christmas time and getting into the spirit.
So what were the first steps here when you decided that you were going to do another Christmas album?
Well, my parents passed away. So my mom had dementia and she passed last year, non-COVID related. And then later on, my dad passed 3 months later. And so they were in the Christmas and I thought I would honor them by, doing a traditional Christmas, but putting more, instead of just doing what I did last time, I thought I'd put more production into it. Adding a few songs, adding a horn section and doing a lot of percussion. I grew up, my dad was a drummer and my mom was a cellist and I grew up playing drums and percussion as well. So I found another percussionist and we did a lot of different added a lot of different instruments. It was really great.
And you said you have about half of it done. Do you have sort of a wish list of songs that you want to record?
I have another set of songs I would like to do depending on time and we'll see what happens. But I pretty much have six ready to be finally mixed here pretty soon. Just adding the bells and whistles, finishing touches, and that should be done. I found a great producer engineer. He's wonderful. He's mixed all my stuff and he's amazing.
For the first album, how did you pick and choose which songs you were going to record? Were they just favorites or was there?
There were songs I would record live and when I would go and I used to do a lot of, because my type of music, a lot of the senior community and those were my fans. So I would always go out and perform live gigs and then these are the songs that they love to hear or sing along with. And those are the ones that I put together and recorded.
Is it something similar for what you've chosen for the next one?
Yeah, but these ones are more of ones that a few of them were I wanted to do, or a couple of them were my parents' favorite.
Any surprises that you can share that you have planned for the new album?
Yeah, besides, so these musicians I found online, a lot of them are out of the country. Some are, there's a person in Canada, Paris, Italy, and it's just amazing to be able to work with these. There's the language barrier and the communication was difficult at first, but trying to get them to what you would like them to do. But getting past all that, I'm really happy with what's came to be.
Now fast forward to mid-September, and Michael returned with an update on his progress and his plan for what still needed to happen for this forthcoming Christmas album.
I was gung-ho at the beginning of the year. I'm like, I'm going to do two albums. we're going to do another standards album, and then we're going to put out another Christmas album. And so I got halfway, I was doing both simultaneously, and I got halfway done with both. So I got like an EP coming out with my standards, and then I have the Christmas almost done. So that one, I have 7 songs, and that's what I'm going to be pushing out.
You have a title for
the Yeah, I'm going very basic. Christmas.
Very good. Easy to find.
Yeah. As simple as standards was, it's Christmas is just this. I just went with the simple theme.
You know, I can tell you, as somebody who is always searching for Christmas music, always adding things to the station, there are some singers and some bands who like to get really creative and very clever, and they name their Christmas albums something that's so unique that it becomes hard to find. If you do a search for Christmas music and they have something else, you know, you might think to look up things like Last Month of the Year or Gift Wrap or something like that. But sometimes they come up with something that's very esoteric, and good for them. That's really clever. Your fans will dig that. But finding new people to discover it is going to be hard. Naming it Christmas is going to make it very easy for everybody to find it. In fact, you search Michael Sinatra Christmas, you'll find them both.
Yeah. You'll get a lot of people albums, but yeah, I just wanted something simple and just plain, and just as I did standards, and it's easy to find. Just, you know, search Michael Sinatra and boom, pop up.
Okay. Now with an old fashioned Christmas, you mentioned that these were the songs that you remembered growing up and listening to. Is that the same thing for the songs you have for the new one, or is there a different inspiration for that?
So the old fashioned Christmas was traditional classic Christmas songs, you know, old fashioned. And so the newer album is now I went more creative with the instrumentation. So I think as you as well, I'm grew up as a percussionist, you know, drums and percussion. Mm-hmm. And so what I remember you saying is that, you know, you grew up playing in concert bands and in bands, and you played all the Christmas songs, right?
Oh yeah.
So you were mentioning Sleigh Ride, right?
Yes.
So yeah. I connected with you with that as well, because I was the percussion guy on the temple or woodblocks playing or the whip crap. I'm on the same page with you as that. So that's actually one of the songs, but it's not making it on this year's album. That one is still, it's still got a ways to go. I started many songs, and the 7 that I are going to be finished are I can tell you, give you some titles if you like. I went with some fun ones. So I'm going to do Holly Jolly Christmas, Bro Ives. I like that song a lot. So that one has a lot percussion, has some big band and the traditional, you know, rhythm section, piano, upright bass and drums, but I'm using a lot like chimes. There's tubular bells, there's vibraphone. So there's all, you know, a lot of different kinds of instruments as well, the brass. So also I'm going to do this song called, remember Marshmallow World?
Oh yeah.
It's a marshmallow world in a winter. Yeah. So that one's like the Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra. And that one has a 17 piece horn section.
Wow.
And so that one, so what was cool about putting this album together is I got to use so many different musicians from all over the world. But you know, everything is, they just record from where they're at and they just send you all their stems. So I got tell them what I was looking for, send them some charts. And then they would send me all their stems and send me like a demo version of what it's going to sound like. Then I sent them to my guy in California, and he mixes them all together. But it was fun. And then I got to work with some singers, did some background. There's some background singing on a few of the songs. And so Holly Jolly Christmas, Marshmallow World. Oh, and the Little Drummer Boy. So that one's for my dad, because my dad was a drummer. So, and this one's all percussion. It's, you know, it's got bass, snare, cymbals. I think there's a triangle. There's like, you know, it's, and that's just me singing to just percussion only for the Little Drummer Boy.
You know, it's funny, that particular song is kind of a pet peeve of mine, because I was someone who grew up as a little drummer boy. I played the drums, and while I run this station, I get in the neighborhood of 1,000 songs sent to me every year. And every year, without fail, I'll get 5 or 6 versions of the Little Drummer Boy that are a cappella with no drums.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, come on. I get it. You know, if you've got a beautiful voice, that's terrific. But really, use your head. This is a song about playing a drum. There has to be drums in it.
Yeah, this one has snare drum, bass drum, like concert bass drum, and then a lot of snare. So you're going to jump, you're going to hear the drum rolls, and it's going to be the rudiments can be awesome. I'm excited about it. I'm a big fan of percussion. So I heavy percussion, like instead of strings, I think I'm just using percussion on stuff. That's my influence. That's my background. So that's what I'm going with.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. So Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah, Little Drummer Boy, Holly Jolly Christmas, Marshmallow World. I'm doing Mistletoe and Holly. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one.
Oh yeah, by golly, yeah,
that one was cool. That's pretty smooth. And then I'm doing a jazzy version of I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm. Mm-hmm. That was jazz combo, and so that has a saxophone, upright bass, piano, and drums, and it's me singing. So that one's really cool. And I also did with that same type of instrumentation. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Got to do that one for my kids.
Nice. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I'm missing. If there's another one or not. I can't count.
I think that's it.
I think those are the ones that are coming out, and we'll be ready. Just finalizing the touches on it. Oh no, I forgot the hello. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Oh my God. Oh,
nice.
Yeah, that's the last one. Yeah. So that one too, that one's the more traditional, but I'm also using lots of percussion as well as the basic rhythm section. So
how was it, since you're used to working with live musicians there around you, how was it working with people who are all over the world who are getting you kind of like puzzle pieces to put together?
Yeah, so I always start with the piano. I have a great guy, Stephen Solomon in LA that I use. And I start with him first. We come up with an arrangement, or he'll come up with a good arrangement. And we'll just start with simple piano. Then we add the bass. Guy in France plays upright bass, really good. He's on most of my albums. He's phenomenal. And then I use just different drummers. Then I add the drummers. And then I start building it up. Like I said, we start doing the horns, and then we'll add some percussion, you know. So that's how we structure it and build it up from there.
Was this easier, more difficult than the last one, or just different?
It's more because it involves a lot more people involved. So, you know, you're dealing with a lot of people who don't speak the language. So you're typing. And so they, I don't know if they use programs that, you know, interpret the English to whatever their native language is, because I work with many different people from different kinds of countries. And so sometimes they're broken English, or the way they would communicate would be a little off a little bit, but I was able to figure it out and with some patience. But it's neat, and it's a different way, and I guess it's how things are pretty much are getting done nowadays.
So in another month and a half or so, there'll be the Christmas album. And what happens next?
I'm gonna promote them, but I'm still gonna record. I still gotta finish so I can release next year, 2022, the full album. So it'll be the songs that I released this year plus the additional ones that I started working on already, which will include an original song. But it's really hard to write original song when you've never written an original song. So I have a bunch of lyrics everywhere, notepads, and you know, I've started working on it, but you know, it's going to take some more time.
And finally, earlier this month, Michael came on once again to talk about the release of this Christmas album, which was simply titled Christmas.
I like to switch it up. I don't want every song to sound the same. I want different moods. And I wish I could add a little more carols to that one.
I had some, but they just weren't ready to go. So in the next one, I'm probably going to have a few more carols, maybe another jazz combo, another big band, etc. It's the songs that I enjoyed and that my parents loved and what I grew up listening to when I was younger.
So we're marching through December and the Christmas EP is now out. You have any, I know it's still hard for performers to actually get out there and do shows. Do you have any shows coming up, Christmas shows or otherwise?
Actually, I have a Christmas show coming up in California. That's a dinner. It's going to be a big Christmas dinner show with another incredibly talented singer. So I'm excited about that. And I'm doing a lot of traveling. So I'm going to Arizona to do some more shows. Just a lot of private events. I keep so busy with people just wanting me for their private events that I rarely do a public event, but doing a big dinner show and that's going to be a public event. That's already sold out. I'm excited about that. And just getting out there, singing some of the songs. I've already done a few gigs where I was able to sing some of the new songs, and that was really fun. And that was really great because I was in Anaheim, in California, and a big group of ladies, it was like their special, get together that they do every year. And I was able to bring them up and interact with them and have them sing along. Or I got one lady to play the sleigh bells. Or get up and dance. It was just a lot of fun. So I like to interact with the crowd, and it's fun to be able to get back out there and do that again.
I know that you posted recently on your YouTube channel a video for Jingle Bells. Are there more Christmas videos planned or any performance videos that you're planning to post there?
That's good that you brought that up. Yes, I'm gonna be, even though I might stop recording, take a break from recording after next year, I do want to do more videos with music I've already released. But I want to get back out there and do some originals. So I have some original ideas for Christmas song and a standard jazz tune that are on paper that are still getting some kinks and working on the music with another performer. And I'm hoping to get that out there and do some videos and get some videos out there. I think that, I'm a little behind on what's going on. Everybody has a video out. I'm like, I got to get back out there. I got to do some videos. Everybody's doing it.
I think especially considering that it's the time of year that it is, I think a lot of us are behind on everything. It's just the nature of things. For the Christmas album that you're going to finish up next year, you mentioned an original that you're hoping to include an original song?
Yes. I don't want to give too much away because things are still being worked out, like the title and some of the lyrics. But yes, I'm really excited. And I've been asked for so many years, hey, do you have any original music? I would always just, I just cover the standards and try to keep that music alive for future generations. But now I'm getting to the point where I'm, getting a little older, and I want to have something original out there that I could, pass on and for other people to enjoy.
It's almost like it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? To add something to the canon of Christmas music is exciting to do, especially if you love that music. And it's got to be a little daunting too, because there's so much great stuff and comparisons are going to be made. It's got to be a tricky line to walk.
Yeah, that's why the song that I want to do it's going to be something. It's not just any holiday song. It's going to have some meaning behind it and a story and something that is close to the heart that, if nobody likes it, it doesn't matter. As long as I like it and enjoy it, that's all I care about. So
that's a great attitude to have, and that's tough in a business where it feels like you're constantly being judged. It's so great when artists decide, get to that point where they're like, I love what I'm doing, and that's the reason that I'm doing it, and I hope you like it, but I'm going to keep doing it anyway.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I mean, when I first started, I would always like, I want everybody to like me, but now I know that everybody doesn't like what you do, and they might appreciate it or they just don't care for it, but it doesn't bother me. I know that a lot of people do appreciate what I do, and that I get out there and keep singing this type of music, and it does bring back memories because music triggers memories. And I always hear, they always tell me their stories, or they'll share something about their musical background or how this song affected their lives, and they, you know, and some people cry, some people are, I've had ladies cry back in the day. I had lady people cry and it could trigger a memory of a, like a loved one or someone they lost, and they just really appreciated that song or, and the music. And so that's very touching and it makes me feel good, and that I, you know, can continue doing this for a living and just keeping this music alive.
Yeah, one of the things that I love about running the Sounds of Christmas radio station is that I do get that feeling that I am keeping a lot of music going that otherwise wouldn't have a home anywhere anymore, whether it's an older song or whether it's a song by a relatively new artist that it's hard for somebody new to break in because of the way traditional radio operates. You know, I have a friend who has 7 or 8 Christmas EPs that they've done over the course of the last decade. And they were very excited because there was a station in New York that was adding one of their songs. And that station only added 5 songs that particular year, 5 new songs. And I know I get almost 1,000 songs sent to me every year. And I can't imagine adding only 5 because there's just so much music that comes out and there's so much that's worth sharing. And that's one of the things that I love about your old-fashioned Christmas album and the new EP. I think these are terrific versions of songs that a lot of people know, and it's worth sharing, and it's a great way to share the Christmas spirit and keep these songs alive. And it's great to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I appreciate being on your platform and what you do and having the Sounds of Christmas out there, where you're featuring artists that wouldn't really get that kind of radio airplay or a chance. And I was, you know, my kids like listening to your station and we have that on, streaming it through my phone in the truck, and, you know, they're singing along, but I've noticed different artists and I'm like, I love this version or how they did this. And I appreciate you, you know, introducing those type of new artists to, you know, to the world.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the kind words. And I didn't want to turn this all around to being all about me, but I certainly appreciate it. So the Christmas album next year, I don't want you to feel like you have to give too much away, but any idea ballpark on how many more songs are coming or anything that you do want to share about it?
At least another 6 or 7, you know, at least just fill it, just double what it is right now. But there's no, you know, there's no music, there's no money in making music, really, unless you're a big time artist with a big label. I enjoy what I do. I don't do this for making money because, you know, you don't make a lot of money. But I love it and I'll continue to keep doing it. And as far as the album, I'm just happy that I was able to get it out there in time. I know we were coming neck and neck, and I was like, oh, it's already end of October and the album's not out yet. But I'm so excited that we were able to, you know, get to the finish line and get it out and release it. And now I'm just trying to get it heard by as many people as possible and share it with their family and friends. And I'm glad you liked it. Thank you.
Yeah, I very much. I like it very much. And I would encourage, if you're listening and your thing is making playlists for the holidays, these are great songs to add in there. They'll fit into any kind of Christmas playlist that you've got. The new Christmas EP from Michael Sinatra or tracks from An Old-Fashioned Christmas. You had so much new music that came out this year, and it's been very fun and very interesting to be able to do this kind of behind the scenes, behind the music sort of thing, following along, because I don't think people really get how much it takes to create a Christmas record, to put together a new Christmas album. When we started talking about this last spring and you had lots of ideas on paper and you had started, you know, going through arrangements and you were starting to see the shape of it, but it was really fascinating to follow along and to get to the point where, you know, okay, well, you have 7 songs and you didn't quite get where you wanted to go, but everybody could see what it took to get there. And I think that was just really, really interesting to be able to be on the inside and follow along. And I hope we can continue to do that in 2022 as you know, if it's not too intrusive, as the new album takes shape.
Oh, of course. No, it'd be my pleasure. Look, I'm really critical. I'm sure a lot of people are of what their work is. And after something's done, you're like, oh, I should, you know, you listen to a song over and over again. You're like, oh, I could have done this, or I could have added this. And, you know, it's hard because that's how I felt on a few songs. Like, oh, I should have went and did this. And why didn't I think of that then? It's hard when you're working on something and just the planning. But that's why, you know, I might get a chance to maybe remix or add some stuff on some of the tracks that are out right now on the deluxe edition. So, but you're right. The process, you know, sometimes can be straining because you're like, oh, I don't want to think about Christmas. It's only like March, you know? It's hard to get into the spirit. That's why you have to do something. And you have to tell yourself, why are you doing this? Why do you want to do this? You know, you have to motivate. You pretty much have to motivate yourself. And my motivation mainly for this album, because, you know, my parents passed. And so I was just wanted to honor them and dedicate this album to them in their memory. And so that was my motivation behind this album and finishing the complete album for next year.
With doing so much music this year, I would think that it had to be a bit of a challenge, at least, to be going in the studio and, okay, am I doing Mistletoe and Holly today, or am I doing Fly Me to the Moon? Because it's, you know, maybe similar era, but very different, because you need to be able to pull off the Christmas songs. You kind of need that. You need a little bit of that spirit to make it feel right and believe it. And you know, like you're saying, it's hard to come up with that in March.
Yeah. Fly Me to the Moon. Well, that's my most, I think that's my most streamed song, is Fly Me to the Moon. That's like my most popular song. My most popular album is an Old Fashioned Christmas Deluxe. That is the most streamed album that I've had, which is probably thanks to you. But yeah, I enjoy it. And you're right. It can be hard to switch gears and fly me to the moon. And then you're like, well, the weather outside is frightful. You know, it's you know, you just got to smile and you just have to get in the spirit. Cause like, I think, like I said before, you can hear it if you're not in it. You know, you can hear it if you're just phoning it in, or if you actually feeling what you're singing.
Yeah. I'll get albums from artists and I'm not going to name any names, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I'll get some, and you can just tell when you listen to them, and you can just tell, okay, they're not adding anything new to this. They're just sort of knocking it out and going to the next one. And you can tell when somebody's phoning it in, and you listen to like Marshmallow World on the new one, and you can almost hear you smiling when you're singing that.
That's good. If you can pick that up, then I'm happy and I'm excited that you caught that. But as for that, I've done takes where I thought it was good, and then my like producer, engineer, mix master guy, Orlando, California, he's like, you know what? I know you could do it better. Why don't you do it again? Why don't we roll it through again? I'm like, you know, because it can be hard, you know, doing take after take. And I don't really like doing too many takes. If I maybe do two or three and I'm like, hey, stop, we're just going to skip. We'll just skip and we'll just move to a different song, because I don't want to wear this song down over and over, because I'll lose the excitement, you know?
You know, a lot of people have seen the Beatles documentary on Disney Plus, the Get Back, and you see the sessions where they're doing some of these songs that we all know, and they're doing them over and over and over and over again. And I think before you got to see that, most people have no idea. They think that, you know, that you go in and you sing, it's the most wonderful time of the year, boom, done, what's next? And it's not like that at all. You can, you go through it and you sing it and you think it's good. And then the guy in the booth goes, all right, let's try that again. And more feeling this time, you know, or something like that. And, you know, now that you see the Beatles doing it, and the, you know, and if it's a huge successful group like the Beatles that have to do it over and over and over, obviously everybody does.
Look, they're the Beatles. Even if they mess up, they're still the best.
Right.
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen that yet. I'm just kidding. I've seen a lot of promos, but yeah, is the first and second part out already, or
all three?
I'm behind
all,
on my Apple
all TV. Three are streaming, and I don't want to turn this into a Beatles review, but I'm a huge fan and I loved it. It's
I know you are.
it's a great fly in the wall kind of thing to watch them as they're going through and making these songs, and and everything is
my book.
Yeah, it's everything isn't perfect, but it's the Beatles, and you see them and you can see the germ of an idea and how it becomes the song Get Back, and it's fascinating. And to a degree, that's kind of why I wanted to do this podcast with you, so that people could sort of follow along and see what it takes to make a Christmas album in 2021. It's not the same as what the Beatles were doing in 1969, obviously. And I think it's been very interesting to be able to follow along from when you have stuff on paper and you're talking about what you're going to do, and you get into the recording and mixing of it. And like you said, and then it's October and it's not out yet and it's not ready yet. And this is what we've got, because a lot has to go into it. And you still managed to come out with an EP of 7 songs. And you're going to give us almost twice as many. Well, you're going to give us that number again, so there'll be almost twice as many in an album next year.
But look, to all credit, I'm like just part of one big ensemble of people who put this together, and some little I give all the credit to all the musicians and everybody who was involved in this album. They worked really hard. I'm along for the ride and excited to be here, but I got to give them all the props.
And then the other thing that I thought was really very interesting in following you along on this journey is that with the first Christmas album, as you were talking about, it was a more intimate kind of scaled down you and a pianist and maybe bass, maybe percussion, but kind of small. And this is so much bigger. And because of the pandemic, you have to connect with people to get them to record their parts and put the pieces together, and it works, and it's really a fun listen, and it is it's just bigger than the other, not to slight the other songs because it's different, but it is, you get that big sound from having this big band.
Correct. Yeah. If you're you're having these musicians, record stems and of each instrument, and they're sending it to you. And especially when you're not, I'm not verbally communicating with these people. I'm just messaging through, the internet and trying to communicate what I want. And there, some of them, sometimes there's a language barrier, but I'm able to get across. And when I get it back, I'm like, wow, this is even better than I thought, and I would just, they'll send me different options, and I'll just what I like and what I don't like, but they're all good. And I just want to use them all, but I can't, it's hard to choose what version of what solo or what take I like. And I'll just leave it up to another guy to do that. I don't want to pick, But you're right. The first album, everything was done in studio and together. And the second one, it was all done online and just put together. And right, it's a little different feel. I would always have the rhythm section done first, and then I would do a take, and then I would send that out to the musicians to add more layers and then layers. But having like 20 to 30 stems on an album that has to be mixed, that's a lot of work,
Yeah. Were there songs that you wanted to do, not the ones that you're still going to do, but were there other Christmas songs that you wanted to do that it just not going to happen this time around?
I mean, that I am going to do, or that I would like to do in the future?
That maybe that you'd like to do in the future that just, for whatever reason, it's not going to work out for this album.
Well, I would love to do some of these, you know, cool classic 80s Christmas songs, but you know, it's not really my genre, but who wouldn't love to do a version of George Michael's, you know, Last Christmas, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Or some other stuff like that. I would like to do some cool 80s stuff. I'm dabbling in with coming out with a jazzy version of some 80s tunes that I'm an 80s kid and I always enjoy that kind of music. So I'm dabbing and maybe doing something like that in the future.
I know we've been all over the place talking about the Standards album and the Christmas stuff. I hate to even ask, is there anything else that you've got on your agenda, or is this really enough and you're ready for a break?
Well, you know, I got to finish the Standards 2 album, which is hopefully going to come out January, February, and then finish the Christmas Deluxe. And I don't know where I'm going to get time to do anything else, but hopefully get, you know, work on a video or two and just get out there and, you know, perform. Because that's where, look, recording is a different monster than performing live. You know, it's a whole different process. It's not the same. It's different technique. Performing live, you're feeling off the energy of the crowd. You might sing the songs differently or approach them differently than you would in a studio. You know, so they're not going to always sound the same as you recorded them.
Right. What's the best way for people to keep track of you? Is social media, is it through your website, through YouTube?
Look, I'm really bad at social media. I'm always told you got to do more posting. You got to have more Instagram. You have the more of this. What I like to do is steer everybody to my main website, michaelsinatra.com, where you can find anything about me. I always update that. I do that myself. And from there, you can go to whatever platform you would listen or get your music, and you can find me anywhere. Or you can just search Michael Sinatra, and there I'll be.
Well, you can find the new EP is called Christmas, and the previous Christmas album, An Old Fashioned Christmas. You can find both of those really everywhere that you listen, you stream, you download music. It's all over the place. Anything else you want anybody to know about any of the projects you're working on?
No, I just want to wish everybody, their family and friends, a very merry holiday season, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And just, you know, have a good time and enjoy your family.
I'm very grateful to Michael for allowing us to come along on this journey, and I'm already looking forward to hearing about the continuation of this process leading to the release of more Christmas music next year. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. Since you're listening now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And again, the website is soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station, to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through our website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.